Stay tuned for Grace Matters, brought to you by First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Ocean and Monroe Streets in Jacksonville.
Pastor Scott Lucky of First Presbyterian Church in Jacksonville, Florida, has a message from God's Word that will encourage and inspire you today. And now, here's Pastor Scott.
And if you will turn in your Bibles now to the Gospel according to Mark chapter 1, verse 9. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove Jesus out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. I'm not going to talk about oysters and pearls today, but I do want to ask you a question. How many of you have ever felt like an oyster? You ever been irritated? You ever felt some pain? Okay, sure. And you had some slime and stuff oozing into your life. And it was uncomfortable for a season. Well, our scripture doesn't talk about oysters and pearls, but we're going to dive into Exodus today. Thank you, Caroline, for reading that passage of scripture. We're going to talk about what it is to experience times of bitterness, followed by times of blessing. So if you want to think of the oyster and the pearl, that's okay too. Now, for a number of years, many Christians, myself included, have felt that the church of Jesus Christ has been in kind of a wilderness. Just like the Israelites were traveling through the desert, through the wilderness, the church has kind of been in a barren season for a long time. Now, we have seen throughout church history that church does go through seasons of dryness, times in the wilderness followed by revival, times of revival followed by times in the wilderness. It's just kind of been like a pendulum going back and forth, wilderness and revival, desert times and revival. You're getting sleepy, okay? So this was true of God's people long ago. The Israelites went through times of revival, and then they would backslide and go into a wilderness for a season. And God would revive them. Then they would go back into a desert season and then revival. This cycle we have seen over and over throughout church history, throughout seasons in the life of God's people. Look again, if you will, at Exodus chapter 15. We're going to start verse 22. There we are told Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. And for 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. So 3 days in the desert. It's hot. There's no water to be found. And I want you to notice something. Right before Israel entered into the desert, God led them miraculously out of bondage in Egypt. He led them through the waters of the Red Sea, and most of chapter 15 is a celebration. The Israelites, Moses and his people, are on a spiritual mountaintop. They're singing and praising the Lord. And Moses' sister Miriam and the Israelite women are playing their tambourines and they're singing and they're dancing before the Lord. They're celebrating God and what he has done for them leading out of bondage. But right after that spiritual high, they experienced a spiritual low. They were led into the desert. And this is the first point I want to make this morning. God led his people into the desert of all places. There was a reason for it. There were things God's people needed to learn in the wilderness of Shur. Now, I said a few moments ago that many Christians believe that much of the church is in the wilderness right now. Perhaps some of you here this morning feel as if you have been led into a wilderness. But have you stopped to consider that God may have led you to this point in your life. There's a purpose in it. God has something to teach you in your wilderness of Shur, in your desert season of life. Now, I know in my own life a lot of the difficulties are of my own making. But are there not times when God will lead his people into the wilderness for a reason? Jesus, in Mark's gospel, we are told, was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness for 40 challenging days and nights. In Mark alone, in his gospel, uses a word I've always been fascinated by it. We are told in Mark chapter 1, verse 12, that the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. Now, Mark alone uses the word, it's the Greek word ekbalo, and it literally means to throw out, like you throw out a first pitch. Ek means out. Balo is the Greek word to throw or to cast. And the Spirit of God is casting out Jesus into the wilderness. Our Bible softened a little bit. We say he was driven into the wilderness. But he was cast out into the wilderness. God was in that. The Spirit of God cast out, drove Jesus forcefully into the wilderness for 40 long days and nights. My friend, don't miss what God has for you in your wilderness. God may well have indeed and may well be casting out and driving some of us into a wilderness season. Don't miss what God has. There's a very interesting passage in Hosea chapter 2, verse 14. The Lord said long ago about the Israelites, I will allure my people into the desert. I will lead my people into the wilderness, and there I will speak tenderly to them. It is often in the wilderness season of life where we hear God. And God has a purpose in our desert seasons, for there he speaks tenderly to our hearts. There's something about the desert in Scripture that is very special. And there's something very special about the wilderness seasons in our lives. Now, I want you to go back to Exodus 15. In verses 23 and 24, the Israelites came to a place called Marah. Marah is the Hebrew word for bitter. They came to a bitter place. And they could not drink that water because it was bitter water. So what did the Israelites do? Oh, they didn't pray. They began to complain and grumble. Their eyes were on their bitter water, their circumstances, and the same is true of us. When things don't go our way, we often complain and we grumble before we pray. We have our pity parties. I want to suggest to you this morning that the Israelites were led into the desert for at least three reasons. First, God wanted his people to learn to trust him. Have you ever considered that the tough times in your life are opportunities to prove that you trust God? These are times to prove our trust. God is up to something. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, we are told that Christian suffering comes so that our faith may be proved genuine and result in praise to the Lord. So trust God in your wilderness and realize that there is a purpose in it. This is a time for us to trust the Lord, to trust God as he's refining us. Second, understand indeed that God will use the wilderness season to purify his people. Now, I can't help but wonder if God leading his people out of Egypt through the waters of the Red Sea to the place of Marah, to this place of bitterness, is because God wanted to purify them, to get Egypt out of their systems. Why do I say that? Because the Israelites came to a place of bitter water, and according to at least one commentator I read, those waters are bitter because, guess what they contained? Calcium and magnesium. Now think about it. Calcium's for your bones. Could it be that after all that long walking, that an all-wise God knew that his people were going to be needing some calcium to relieve their tiredness and fatigue in their legs and their muscles? And could it be that God wanted them to drink the bitter water that was full of magnesium. You know what magnesium does, don't you? It purifies, it purges. And could it be that God wanted to get Egypt out of his people? He not only wanted to get his people out of Egypt, he wanted to get Egypt out of their systems. And so that magnesium is there to purify. The calcium is there to strengthen and refresh. I read recently that calcium and magnesium together form the basis of a drug called dolomite. You know what dolomite is? It's used by athletes as a performance enhancer in hot weather conditions. And the point is, God may well have been purging and preparing his people in that desert season. What about us today? Might God want to purge and prepare us? Perhaps on a daily basis. I believe God was using the desert experience to teach his people to trust him, and he was purifying them and preparing them for something ahead. So let me ask you, when the tough times, when the bitter times, when those oyster moments come your way, and that grain of sand gets in and starts to irritate, and things aren't going your way, will you complain? Will you start to look to God and complain to God and gripe? Or will you recognize that maybe God's up to something in that little grain of sand, that irritant? Maybe God is up to something in that hardship of your life. Maybe the Lord is in the desert and there's something he's wanting to teach us. I've been told God does not send trials to impair us, but to improve us. The hardships of life are there for a reason. Look at verse 25. And what does Moses do? It's interesting. Moses is told to take a piece of wood and throw it into the water. And the water became sweet. That piece of wood, and I've been told, well, maybe there was something about the bark or something inside that bark that made the water turn sweet. I believe that bark or that wood is a picture of Christ. Christ in the sweetness he brings in the bitterness of life. Christ is like that wood in the bitter water. Christ brings sweetness into our seasons of bitterness. The living Christ and all that he accomplished on the cross can be our greatest blessing in the wilderness. Even in the dry times, there's refreshment. Jesus was driven into the wilderness. He was cast out, thrown into that desert. But the Spirit of God was there, and the angels were ministering to him. Look at verse 27 of chapter 15 of Exodus. We learn that the Israelites moved from Marah, the bitter place, to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees. Folks, there was water and there was shade. And what surprises me is that Elim was less than a day's journey from Marah. And you know what that tells me? We may be in a bitter season. We may be in a dry place, but Elim's right around the corner. We may be in a bitter season, but there's blessing not far off. Hang in there. Don't give up. The time of blessing and refreshment is not far off. There are many people that are dry and in a desert season of their life. Much of the church in our time in the West is in a worldly wilderness. But I can't help but believe that revival and refreshing are not far off. Perhaps there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the way. I'm believing that and I'm praying with you for that. But whatever happens, and whenever it happens, be encouraged. God is at work, even in the wilderness, especially in the wilderness. We may be in Marah, but Elim is close by. It's not far off. I don't know if you remember a fellow by the name of Keith Green, a great Christian singer back in the 70s when I came to know the Lord in the 1980s when I was saved by God's grace. I started listening to music of Keith Green. I loved his music and the passion. I loved his heart. His wife, Melody Green, Keith is now with the Lord, but Melody Green wrote a while back, and I've never forgotten these words. She said, "In the secret places of our hearts, God is doing a deep work of profound importance. Some of us were proud. God is humbling us. Some of us were superficial. God is taking us deep. Some of us were wavering. God is making us solid and trustworthy. Some of us were wounded. God is revealing our need for healing so that we won't wound others. Some of us were driven by selfish ambition. God is making our hearts clean and our motives pure. And some of us were arrogant accusers of the saints. God is teaching us to love, to forgive. God is teaching us to serve Him in unity. She believed and believes that we are in a season where the Lord is building godly character in the lives of His people. And I think she's right. Church, we may be in a desert wilderness. I think much of the American church is right now. But God has a purpose in this season of our life together. So let's allow God to be God and do His work in our lives and in our hearts. Listen, God is so interested in change. In fact, if you could sum up your Bible in one word, I know that word would be grace, but maybe another word would be transformation. God is very interested in transforming us from the inside out. So let God change your heart. Let Him have His way with your life in the time of trial and testing. Don't miss what God has for you in your wilderness. Remember that God often leads us into the wilderness in hard times because He wants to teach us to trust Him. And He also wants to purify us and prepare us. And never forget, there is blessing in the wilderness for God's people. In Jesus Christ, we can move from bitterness to blessing. In fact, let me say that a little more strongly. Only through Jesus Christ can we move from bitterness to true blessing from God. We may be in Mara. You may be in that bitter season of your life. Or you may be about to go into a place called Mara. But Elam is right around the corner. Elam is nearby, times of refreshing from the Lord. In the meantime, may God give us all eyes to see and ears to hear what He is doing in our wilderness. We are people of Jesus. Jesus spent time in the wilderness. And we who follow in His footsteps can be assured that we also will spend time in the desert. But we are never alone. And God is always up to something in our wilderness season. And so may our time in the desert of Shur find Jesus Christ more perfectly formed within us. God loves you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. He has not abandoned you to your wilderness season. He is up to something beautiful in your life. And out of that oyster, what comes forth? A beautiful pearl. And we are those pearls of great price. Let those with ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to His people and to the church. Amen.
And now, here's a recent pastoral pondering, a message from Reverend Dr. Michael Scott Luckey.
During my seminary years, I was introduced to a popular progressive theologian who taught that all roads lead to God. In his words, and I quote, "All spiritual paths lead to the top of the same mountain," unquote. Now, not surprisingly, the theologian also wrote a book about the myth of God incarnate. He did not believe that Jesus is God, and he certainly did not believe that Jesus is the only way to God. But is it true that all roads lead to God? The Bible teaches otherwise, stating clearly that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. Jesus says in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is not one way among many. He is the way to God, the only way. Likewise, the Apostle Peter said about Jesus in Acts 4:12, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." My friend, the Bible teaches that the only way a person can be reconciled to God is on God's terms. Jesus Christ voluntarily died on a Roman cross 2,000 years ago to pay the penalty for our sins and to demonstrate his love for us. Jesus was God himself who came in the flesh, the promised Messiah. And the gospel of grace is this: whoever believes in the biblical Jesus Christ, the one who lived, died, and then 3 days later was resurrected, that person will have eternal life in heaven. People who believe that all roads lead to God base their convictions on wishful thinking and sentimental theology. Let us remember that Satan is the father of lies, and one of his strategies is to deceive people by casting doubt on the Word of God. The question he asked Eve in the Garden of Eden long ago is one he is still posing today. Did God really say? Genesis 3:1. In these times of confused theologies and deceptive belief systems, let us hold unwaveringly to the truth of the eternal Word of God. Jesus is the only answer to humanity's sin problem. In the words of the Apostle Paul, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." 1 Timothy 2:5. In these namby-pamby times, let there be those who unashamedly declare the truth that is in Christ. We need trumpets of God, people who will declare the truth in these politically correct times. Listen, the Bible says, and I quote 1 Timothy 4:1, "The Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and such things taught by demons." Do all roads lead to God? Absolutely not. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You can bank on that. Our eternity is all about that truth. Jesus has reconciled us to God the Father. He is the one mediator between a holy God and sinful human beings. Thank God for the grace of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the one man, the one mediator between God and man, our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you.
We trust you enjoyed today's message by Pastor Scott Luckey. For additional messages and resources, you may visit the website at www.fpcjacks.org. First Presbyterian Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-believing, mission-minded church in the heart of downtown Jacksonville, Florida, located at 118 East Monroe Street. You're welcome to join us for services on Sundays at 10:30 a.m.
of all nature and all created things. Above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected.
Been listening to Grace Matters, brought to you by First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Ocean and Monroe Streets in Jacksonville.